Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me.
Welcome to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of the IAMUniversity.com, calling to you live from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each and every week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. My co-host, Jennifer Carter from EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com, is here with me as well. And today we've got a great guest for you. His name is Andrew Zirkin. He's an expert in the field of search engine optimization and social media marketing. Andrew is with Brand SEO, and he's got high-profile clients like Ben Gay, Jim Rohn, Christopher Howard, and many, many more. Starting over 6 years ago with an unsuccessful e-commerce venture, he learned what it takes to reach online success through hard work and dedication. After this first experience, Andrew was hired by one of the top search engine optimization companies on the planet. He was disappointed at the amount of time and effort that went towards optimizing his client's sites. He was confident he could get much better results at a more reasonable price for website owners. And this was really the major impetus for Andrew to start a world-class optimization company, Brand SEO, that now helps the best of the best increase their customer base and their bottom-line profits through SEO and social media marketing. And as I say often on this show, social media is really where relationship marketing comes into play in gigantic ways. So, Andrew, welcome to the call, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I can't wait to kind of pick your brain a little bit about what you know on building relationships on the Internet and all of the things that come into play with SEO and building relationships.
We're very excited to speak with you today as well.
And Gina and Andrew, welcome. I am excited to have you as well. Gina, as you know, and those of you listening, Andrew and his company have made a pretty bold claim. And we were talking before about SEO and social media marketing, which is what his company specializes in. As you mentioned, he works with some of the who's who in the speakers, circuits, authors, high-profile people, and businesses around the world. But this is a relationship marketing where we work with mostly small and medium-sized businesses, and he said this: social media, Jennifer, I believe, our company believes, and we are helping people in this way. Social media is going to pull the U.S. out of the recession. And
ha-ha, that's a big, bold claim.
It's a huge claim, and I am – so today's show is all about what in the world social media is, which – our listeners, of course, Gina, have a good start to it, absolutely, because that's what we talk about. But I'd like to start by asking Andrew, so before he goes into more detail and backs up this claim, I want to find out a little bit more about, Andrew, tell us about who you are and, more importantly, how you came to be this SEO expert to the stars, so to speak, and then we'll get into the meat of today's show. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and your company.
Okay, great, great. Well, as you mentioned, we're BrandSEO.com, and our specialization is search engine optimization. Of course, with all the changes on the Internet now, that helped lead us into into social media marketing. And I guess in a further question, I think we'll address how we believe social media, search engine optimization, and online marketing can take us out of the recession. Unless, did you want me to address that first?
Oh, no, we'll work our way through it.
Oh, good.
Now tell us you're an expert. Our listeners want to know, what makes you an expert?
Well, we've worked on over 100 websites in our time at BrandSEO.com and just in the search engine optimization industry. Our specialty is getting people's websites to the top of search engines. Basically, I've done marketing since my early teens in some form or another, on and off, from owning my own screen printing company to working in my parents' printing business when I was young, and to doing many different various forms of marketing, from different guerrilla marketing techniques, even being very successful in network marketing in London. I built a team of 200 people under me, and just experiencing and utilizing different forms of marketing for myself and various clients throughout my lifetime, I've always looked for what are the best formulas for marketing. what can really, really make a difference in a business owner's bottom line to make them successful and increase their revenue and increase their profits without costing them an arm and a leg. It's daunting, and I feel for the small business owners that have to look at the hundreds of options of, should I advertise in magazine, should I do newspaper, should I do the phone book, should I do online, should I do what else? And so my experience or my story actually started back in London about 6 years ago. And basically in London, me and an associate of mine from the network marketing company I was in decided to start an online website for shopping and build it up. And we thought, okay, it'll be easy, we'll be the next eBay. Well, about $10,000 later each, so about $20,000 plus countless hours of energy and time, we added about 600 affiliate programs to the website. We had a really good-looking website that nobody was going to. And we started to run out of money, and we didn't know how to get viewers to the website. And it was something that that first venture, basically collapsed. And as you know, to succeed in business, you need to get up again and get back on the horse. And that was my belief that I liked internet marketing. I was very excited about the potential of it. And I knew if I could just learn now how to get people to websites, that would be a very profitable skill for not only for myself but for clients as well. And so, as you mentioned, I was hired by one of the very top search engine optimization companies in the world. They were ranked at the top of Google for that term, very close to the top. And basically, I was a little bit disheartened. It was a little bit like when you work in a restaurant and you see what they're doing with the food in the back and you don't want to eat there. Basically, it was the same kind of thing. I saw how the clients were spending a lot of money and not getting the results, or not, they weren't allowing us to put in the work that it took to get phenomenal results for clients because they had way too much business. And I just knew as a business owner, I felt bad. And so after a bit, I left there, did some consulting, and after a little while of consulting and looking into my soul, I decided, you know what, I can start a better company that's actually ethical, affordable, and effective at getting people to the top of the search engines. And that's what led us to today and our interview here with BrandSEO.com.
Okay. So you're saying you started cooking up some better food for online marketers, something that tasted good and that was healthy in the back in the kitchen as well as what people saw. Now, for those, I think most people have heard of SEO or search engine optimization, but since that's where you started as a specialty and since that still plays a role in the bottom line profitability of anybody with an online presence, explain in simple terms what search engine optimization or SEO is and why it matters.
Sure, of course. Of course, actually, I don't even use the term search engine optimization too often because when I meet people, they look at me like I work on the Enterprise in Star Trek or something when I say that term. So I do my best to keep it simple, and I basically say we get websites to the top of search engines like Google, Yahoo, MSN. Most people use search engines now. Very few people even pick up a phone book anymore. So they understand when they look for something on Google, those people they find on the first page are generally the people they do business with. Very few people go to the second and third page. Some people do, but most of our clients, when they contact us, they're on page 100 or even further down. And so our goal and our objective and what we do for them is get them on the first page so basically they can have increased business, but so they can also have better lives and not have to pour a fortune into their marketing. And so it gives a much greater return than the cost themselves.
Okay, so you're absolutely right. Google and Yahoo and whatnot is the yellow pages of today. I think people don't use the yellow pages so much anymore except to recycle and to hold up, tables that need something to prop them up. But having said that, so you help people get to the top of a search engine for a keyword and whatnot. And while we certainly talk about keywords on this show, there's a difference between words that matter that's going to bring business versus those that don't. So let's take give me an example of what you would do for, let's say there's a company that sells gift baskets, and they want to get to, in San Diego, and they want to get to the top of the search engine ranking for gift baskets. What would you do to get them to the top of the search engine, and how would that help them?
Great. That's a great question. I actually know a gift company that does baskets here in San Diego.
Oh, well, perfect.
And and we use their baskets. They're wonderful. Linda and Barry Gorin. They, A Gift to You, I think, is the name of their company. And basically, that's a great question. One of the things we do is we also look for what are other things that people are typing in to find Linda and Barry Gorin, for example. What are other people typing in besides just gift baskets? Maybe promotional gifts, corporate gifts, and so forth. And this is actually very important because a lot of times one might think that the terms that their clients are typing in are very limited. They're one or two phrases. But in reality, there may be a lot of phrases that they're typing in. So one of the very first steps for us and one of the things that really differentiates us as a company is we go very deep on the keyword analysis. So one of our first steps is to go at least 300 keywords deep. And actually, you mentioned that we worked with Jim Rohn before. We actually did 3,000 keywords of analysis for him to end up coming up with 30 or so phrases that they were going to use at the end of the day. The more competitive the industry is, the more deep you need to go on the analysis. But basically, we're looking at how much traffic do these terms get? How competitive are these terms? So how realistic is it to get to the top? And also, how relevant is it to what they're doing? And so, for example, if a term is way too competitive, we generally don't target it because usually there's terms that are less competitive, for example, competing on less than 5 million websites, that may bring in the same or even more traffic. So we want to look for those gems that fit those combination of all three factors. That's really the first step.
Okay. Okay, so you find the keywords that fit for the business. You help them. So for this gift basket company, for example, probably gift basket was one of them. Maybe gift basket, since they're a San Diego-based company, gift basket San Diego. And then as Gina and I have talked about numerous times, and as Gina, geez, teaches all of her students and mentees all the time, sometimes there are strange words you would never think of that end up being a really good keyword for whatever it is that you sell or whatever services you provide. And you find those. You're good at finding those, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, because you can optimize a good website to about 15 to 20 phrases, even a 10-page or less website. You can optimize to that many terms, so it would be a waste of that efficiency to just go after one term.
Okay, so let's move on then to you help them get to the top of so this is why businesses want to optimize, search engine optimized, and as well as some of the other things that we're going to talk about later in the show, which is namely they want people to find them. You mentioned in the beginning that cool website you and your partner came up with, and it was beautiful, amazing, God's gift to the Internet probably, but hardly anybody found you, so it didn't make you much money. And that's not what the quote-unquote average Joe businesses want. Let me ask you this. This is a show on relationship marketing, and it means many things, but it means, of course, developing a relationship with your customers and your client base. Does SEO, the search engine optimization and or social media marketing that we're going to talk about later, what does that have to do with developing a relationship with your market?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked. Social media marketing and search engine optimization are both wonderful for getting that, social media marketing even more about relationship building, and we'll get into that probably later in the call. But, for example, search engine optimization, as business owners, as many of your listeners are business owners, basically one of the most frustrating and toughest things to do as a business owner, and I think in this economic climate, a lot of people are resorting back to this, is actually making cold calls, you know, calling strangers and calling businesses and other people and offering your services and products to people that you have no relationship and you don't know at all. That's a very, very tough way to do business, and it takes a lot of rejection and it takes a strong salesperson to do that. Now, that doesn't need to be done. Maybe in some industries and in some instances, but the beauty of something, for example, like search engine optimization is that your clients are already typing in phrases to find you. The problem is right now they're probably finding your competitors. And so when they're finding your competitors, they're utilizing your competitors' businesses and they're building a relationship with those competitors. And so when they find you at the top of the search engines, utilize a company like ours and work with us, work with brandseo.com, and we get you to the top of the search engines, there's a certain credibility of being at the top of the search engines. You're considered an expert, and they're much more likely to contact you via email or phone and say, I am interested in and want your services. I mean, we get calls all the time from people who say we found you on Google or Yahoo for this term, And, you know, Search Engine Optimization San Diego, or Ethical Search Engine Optimization, Affordable Search Engine Optimization, and various phrases, and the same with our clients. And what that does is that starts the relationship. Because, you know, I have this belief, and you might find this a little funny, but I believe that we're born naked and we know nobody when we're born. So
right.
We start with no relationships. So there's different ways throughout life to build up those relationships, and the Internet has built up a lot of techniques and ways that you can build those relationships. So through being at the top of the search engines, the clients find your website, they call or email you, and now it's your turn to build a relationship, but it's a warm lead because that person's contacted you saying they already have an interest and they want to have a relationship and they want to do business with you. It's much easier than the days of just strictly cold calling.
Okay, so it's about creating having a warm market coming to you as opposed to cold calling, whether it's on the Internet or literally making those cold calls. That's the difference.
And that really changes the level of the relationship with the people who are becoming your new prospects because of that. That's the starting point for the relationship. And I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if you're using one set of keywords versus another, it's going to cause the relationship to start at one point versus another. So if you want to be going out and building relationships because the relationships will make you sales, then you got to choose the right keywords to start that relationship off in the right place.
Exactly. And the wrong keywords may not even ever start the relationship.
Yeah, that's true too.
I hear this from people that they say, you know what, I can't find what I want on Google sometimes. So they type in a phrase, and you know, someone's selling computers, but they come up for baked bread because their search engine optimization company didn't know what they were doing and they got them to the top of something that got more traffic. To me, I would rather have less traffic that's actually looking for what I offer than have a whole bunch of traffic for an industry I'm not involved in. So
me too, any day of any week.
I'm sorry?
Me too, any day of any week. Give me fewer of the right prospects than millions of the wrong ones.
Exactly. It can be a real waste of time when you start getting phone calls from people who are looking for something similar to what you do. And that's why it's important to be very specific. And actually, interestingly enough, Google's making some changes right now because Google does change the algorithms on a regular basis, at least once or twice a year, sometimes more. And one of the things they're doing right now is they're actually looking more at what are called long-tail keywords, meaning longer phrases. And we've always suggested this to our clients because if someone types in exactly what you have to offer, something much more specific, they're much more likely. If you sell commercial real estate in San Diego and someone types in commercial building San Diego or commercial building for sale, you know, San Diego or something to that effect, they're much more likely, they're probably looking to buy a building in San Diego. So instead of just coming up for the term real estate San Diego, which could be every looky-loo who's looking to buy a house or a condo, it's much more specific. So we really do stress that to our clients. It's quality, not quantity.
Andrew, let me ask you this. I know that a lot of our listeners out there, and myself included, are infopreneurs. So we have, you know, little or no hard products, but, you know, information, whether we're empowering women in business, whether we're showing people how to have healthier hearts and live longer lives, whatever it is, we are infopreneurs. How does somebody who's an infopreneur find out what their top keywords are using like a company like yours? Because it's so broad. If we're an infopreneur, we're providing so many different services, probably maybe on a lot of different topics. One key theme, but a lot of different topics. How do you help a company who's an infopreneur figure out what they need to be focusing on, and how to most profitably create that warm market for them?
Excellent, very interesting. We love. We think infopreneurism is a great industry. You know, the education business right now, people want to know all this knowledge and information that's out there in so many different areas. So in a situation like that, we would probably figure out what are some of your core competencies or your core specialties or what areas are you going after, what are you targeting, and I would say we'd probably either segment the website to target those different areas or suggest creating different websites for each. Because, you know, if you're targeting, let's say, stay-at-home moms for one thing, and you're targeting, you know, male CEOs from 35 to 45 for another completely different thing, I don't know if you'd want those same two people to land on the same website. So you may be better off segregating those two and running a deep keyword analysis for each industry. So we'd probably run several keyword analysis in that situation and suggest and advise ways to focus so the right clients get to the right website or
okay.
the right part of your website.
So take, for example, I have a friend who has a website about heart failure solutions, and she targets everybody who may encounter or has encountered heart failure, just everything and everything you want to know. She's been in the industry forever. It's fair to say she has different target markets. She's got women whom we know what we have more heart problems, generally speaking, than men. Our problems are different than men, and we notice them differently. The symptoms are differently. So in that case, you might suggest, well, she would want maybe, you know, one website that's targeting women, and then or a landing page that's targeting, say, women, you know, middle age, and then another one that's targeting men middle age and stay-at-home moms differently than, you know, the high-powered CEO exec mom. Or, I mean, is that sort of what you're saying, different landing sites?
You know, possibly. We'd have to look at a few factors. Obviously, you know, a general term like heart failure is going to be typed in by either person, or cures for or how to detect heart failure maybe. I would imagine a CEO and a stay-at-home mom would type in similar phrases for that, but it may take a different site to sell to the CEO and the stay-at-home mom. It may be different factors that they're looking for, different things that make them grab and so forth. So it would really depend on how deep the person wanted to go to separating those two areas. It may not be necessary because you may be able to make something, I don't want to use the term generic, but you may be able to make something that appeals to both people because they're looking for information on heart failure. But if you had one thing about heart failure and one about cancer, well, that's where you'd probably want to create. But you could create two different sites for two different target markets or three or four for the same industry. But it might, you know, we'd have to look into that and see if it was a waste of money. We'd want our clients to get the most, efficiency for their dollars spent, especially at the moment.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Would you please define for us what social media marketing is? We'll start with the definition of it, and then I want to move on from there because that's really what we're going to focus about in today's show. What is social media marketing?
Well, social media marketing is really truly a way that the Internet is completely changing right now. And a lot of people are jumping on board with this or they're utilizing it, but they don't realize they could be utilizing it better for business. So maybe they use social media marketing for social aspects. Or they use social media, I should say, for example. So they have a Facebook account, and they go on there, and they use it to chat with their friends, but they never talk about what they do. They don't talk about their businesses. They don't use it to maybe get a new job or to get more clients through the door. And so social media is exploding right now. Services like Facebook, for example, it gets 60 million viewers per month going on to Facebook. And it's not like the old Internet where people would just go to a website and leave and maybe never come back or join a newsletter or something. There were ways to kind of keep them in the message. But now with social media, people are spending hours every day in places like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, MySpace. There's many of them out there. So social media is a way that people are interacting on the Internet right now, and I find that some people are not even leaving these places, for example, so often. So let's say a lot of your users or your clients are using Facebook, and you can reach them through there. But not only that, but they're not going and checking their email as much as they used to. They're not reading it. They're not going to web pages too often. Well, if you don't have that presence on Facebook, there's 60 million users every month going on there that you're missing access to. But one of the beauties of marketing with something like Facebook, and this is what your show is all about, is about, you know, social marketing and social networking and so forth, is that one of the beauties is that you have these long-term relationships with these people. You know, I currently have about 500 friends on Facebook. It took about 6 months or so to build that up. I was on Facebook longer than that, but we really started to pick it up about 6 months ago. Wow, this is a real power force. We want to do some really powerful marketing with this and then show our clients how we can do it. you know, 500 friends is good. The beauty of that, though, is that I have relationships with almost everyone I've accepted as a friend or invited to be my friend. I get random emails sometimes, so-and-so wants to be your friend. If I don't know them, or they're not in a very closely related industry, or they don't know a lot of friends of mine, or they haven't been introduced by someone, I don't accept them as a friend. There is a limit on Facebook. You can only have 5,000 friends. And to me, I have a lot more influence, and I have a lot more trust, you know, like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I don't have to worry about rapport with a friend of mine I've known since high school. I have that trust, and that's all built in. A good friend of mine from high school recently contacted me, and he wants to get his website to the top of search engines. We're getting, you know, several of these a week right now where people are getting us through Facebook. And the beauty of that is that you know, the relationship's been established 20, 25 years ago, and the trust is there and the rapport is there, and they know who I am, so it's much easier. The barrier for doing business is really broken down, and there's it's so exciting. I mean, we could really – you know, one of the social media questions we could spend a whole hour and a half on, but of course we have a lot more to go over than that today.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Okay, so you say, so social media is all of those, you know, those interactive sites, the Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, of course. You say that people are spending more and more time on there and getting relationships, close or otherwise. Some people are, as you mentioned, maybe accepting every friend that they meet, but not really establishing a relationship. Others are taking the time to establish the relationship. I have a question for you in a moment about how we can figure out where our target market is spending their time. But before I ask it, I saw this really funny video yesterday. Somebody put together, it was about Twitter, but it applies to every social media marketing, and it was it made the point that some people are spending, as you said, all their days and hours online creating these so-called creating these relationships with people they don't even know, and just, you know, they're addicted to the internet. And it's true. People, many, many people, including your target market, mine, Gina's, and everybody else listening, so many of our people are spending this time on the internet, but they're doing it with thousands and hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So back to the question of the day, how do we, number one, figure out where our particular target market is spending their time? I mean, are they spending their time on Facebook, or is my target market on Twitter, or are they somewhere else? And how do I reach out and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I see these are your challenges, your problems, your goals, your desires. I can help you in this way. And how do I establish a relationship with them, stand out from the other hundreds of thousands of people who are tapping them on the shoulder saying, hey, let's twit. How do we do that?
Right. Yes, I often get people who want to twit with me or tweet with me, as they say. And I agree. It's this is one of the reasons we're creating a social marketing package to teach this to people and to help them set up their 30 accounts and give them a place, for example, where they can post on all 30 accounts in one place, and it saves them a huge amount of time and energy. There's definitely tools out there that we can help and teach them and help them set up and show them how to use, where they can spend 10 to 20 minutes a day on social media, maybe an hour or so in the beginning to actually build it up and build up their list of friends, but so they can be more effective and efficient, and once it's running smoothly, they literally don't need to spend, unless they want to log into the different social media sites, they don't necessarily have to get a message out there. Hello?
Yes, we can still hear you.
Okay, I just heard that I'm now in the host queue, so I'm hoping that that didn't affect our call at all, my part on here. But yeah, so basically, one of the most important tips I could give anyone towards social media is have an intention with what you're doing on there. Don't just go on there, because it will be what we call a black hole of time if you don't have an intention of this is what I want to do with social media. Like I said, we can't get into everything in just an hour and a half call, but we are going to be offering 10 hours of coaching time with me to teach people how to use social media to the maximum benefit for themselves. And it really, it does take some time in investing, but the rewards are phenomenal. I mean, I know people who've made hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions of dollars now from utilizing social media to the best of their benefit for marketing. And so if you have that specific intention of, yes, I'm going to go on here to build friends, but my intention is to stay top of mind. That's the most important thing with social media, is when someone thinks, when one of my friends on Facebook thinks of getting to the top of search engines, or one of their buddies asks them about search engine optimization, do they know anyone? I want them to think of me first. So that also doesn't mean just treating it as a business place to just do business, because people will get tired of your message if you're constantly just plugging and promoting yourself and you're not telling people about who you are, you're not sharing pictures of your vacations, you're not talking about your children or other things, other aspects of your life, then you're not building that rapport and you're not connecting with people. People love to do business with people who are like them. But if they don't know who you are because you haven't created a face of who you are on not just Facebook, but on the social media sites, then you're missing half of the power of it. Did that answer your question, Jen?
Yeah, it did. So okay. People love to do business with people who are like them. And actually, maybe we need to go back to this, because you said something which scared me a little bit. You said help them set up their 30 accounts, and I'm thinking, what's he talking about, 30 accounts? I mean, I have my Facebook account, I have my LinkedIn account, I have Twitter. What are you talking about, the 30 accounts? And then let's attack the question a little deeper. How do I find where my target market lies? So you started to answer it, but then do I need to go on every single social media thing out there? And if so, I'm never going to sleep. So
that's
how do
true.
I find where they're it's, hanging out?
Good point. And you know what? You did ask me a 3 or 4 part question there, so I knew that's why I asked if I covered it all. And now I know what you mean. And yeah, no, it makes total sense. One of the things is you really want to meet people where they're at. And so, like I said, there's tools out there where you don't need to spend countless hours doing this. But basically, not everybody uses Facebook, and not everybody uses Twitter, not everybody uses LinkedIn. There's about 30 big ones out there, and they vary. Obviously, the biggest three or four are obviously the MySpace, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Those are the big four. And if you're covering all four of those, that's great. But it still even takes a lot of time to log into all four of those and let everyone know what you're up to and sort of keep at top of mind. But one of the beauties of, like I said, with our social marketing package and with our consultation, we're going to show people a way that they can go to one location and they can post in that one location and they can reach out to all 30 social media sites without logging into all 30 of them. If you had an account on 30 different social media sites, because I'm sure most of your listeners, just like I do, get emails, join me on Plaxo and join me on High Five and join me on Bebo. And it used to really annoy me in the beginning when I didn't understand how to utilize it and how to leverage my time. But with the right tools, you can post in one location and it sends that message out to all of them. And you can also set up readers that get the messages from all of them in one location. So then you only really need to go to two places a day, and that's where you're spending 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day doing social media, but getting 10 hours worth of leverage. So the question isn't, well, are my clients on Twitter? Are they on Facebook? Are they on LinkedIn? They're on all of them. It's just a matter of, do you want to have a presence on all of them and reach more potential clients with little effort? Once it's all set up, it doesn't take any more effort to post on all of them than it does to just log into Facebook and do a single post on Facebook. So, you know, we put a message out on all 30 sites yesterday. We put out a few messages about this call today, and it took us just a few minutes. And we got a lot of response of people saying, well, they could or couldn't make the call, but they wanted a way to listen to the call later. And then, of course, we were able to send out a message and tell them that they could log on to the website and that they could come on later and still listen to the call. So it's not as scary or inundating as it sounds to be on 30 sites, because you never have to log into those 30 sites ever, because you can actually leverage and utilize those without it being on there. But it is important to understand a little bit about, and we go into this in our coaching time, it is good to understand that, for example, LinkedIn is different than Facebook, quite different. LinkedIn is much more for business. It's much more business-oriented. So, you know, you have to be, and I always tell people, be careful about the messages you put out on social media. if you wouldn't say it to your mother or grandmother, and you wouldn't say it around a client, then don't say it on social media.
Yeah.
Because you have to be really careful. If you put the wrong message out there, it could come back to bite you, and you could lose clients and maybe not even know that you're losing clients.
Yeah, once it's out there, it's there forever, huh?
Especially now.
You did a really good job of answering that, and I want to point out something really important here, and that is you talked about leveraging your time. And every single one of us here, Gina, the creator of this show, and if you know her and her all the people that she works with, that's one of the biggest things that she focuses on is, you know, find the things, use your time wisely, find the things that will, you know, be most effectively. And this is what she teaches both on this show and through the IM University and whatnot. Leverage your time. So let's take that and use that as how can we leverage our time, whether somebody is newish in business or they've been in business for a while and the economy's been, you know, putting a bit of a crunch on their business, they've seen things go down. How can we best leverage our time and our efforts, specifically our marketing efforts, to keep ourselves out of or pull ourselves out of or whatever, you know, situation we might be in, to pull ourselves out of the recession? How do we use social media to and focus our time, focus our efforts to draw attention to us, most effectively bring our best customers and start building a profit?
That's a great question. And a lot of my mentors like to say that we have our own personal economies. And so if you believe that because the economy is bad, your personal economy is bad, then you're sort of falling into the fear that's going on all around us right now. And it's important to separate yourself from that, because I walk outside and I see people exchanging money everywhere I go. And everyone's saying the economy's over. No, it's not. Everything's cyclical. And so when you're talking about how can they leverage it to take themselves out, obviously I would take advantage of our 10 hours of coaching time, and then we can really teach you how to leverage that time. But the thing is that one of the things Robert Kiyosaki says, and I got this when I read this years ago, and I was doing very successful network marketing in London. And network marketing gets a bad impression, but it's a great industry in a lot of ways, and it teaches people a lot about business, and the cost of entry is so low. But basically what he taught us was your network is your net worth. And so most people, they say know about 250 people on the average. But what people forget is the 250 people you know also know 250 people who know 250 people who know 250 people. So when you start taking this out to that sort of level, as they talk about the 6 degrees of separation, you really have access to almost anyone on the planet if you were to really reach out to your networks and utilize them properly. In the past, this was difficult. If I wanted to get a call through to Obama, it would have been very, very, very difficult to get any kind of message to him that he would feasibly read. But currently with the Internet, you could get something out there. Now, he'd probably be pretty difficult to reach. He's the president of the United States. But you know, reaching your clients to grow your business, to reach out to your network and leverage your network and ask your network to help you grow your network even more and connect you with the resources and people that you need, it's so much easier nowadays than it's ever been. And this is why we're so excited over here at BrandSEO.com to really teach people and to help people grow their businesses, and to take the economy out of the recession. That's something I definitely wanted to address in the call, and in case that doesn't come up in a future question, I guess I'll ask myself the question, because we have brought it up a couple times, about this bold claim about how can social marketing, search engine optimization, and internet marketing, really the combination of all three, take us out of the recession? Well, the reality is this country was built on small business. And I know a lot of your listeners are small business owners. This country was built on small business, and it's still based on small business. They say 70% of the people employed in this country are employed through small businesses. And the current government, which I am a fan of, is taking a little more time than I would have liked to see to address the problems and the bailout of small businesses, because they're just now starting to address that. And if you really let the small businesses, which are our clients as well, start to go by the wayside, and disappear, then you will have huge unemployment in this country. And so right now, people need to be more creative than ever. They need to be stay very positive, believe in their own personal economies, and use the leverage of tools like social media marketing and search engine optimization and internet marketing to really grow their businesses. If business owners are to look at it and reframe the situation right now, they actually have a huge advantage, and we're in very exciting economic times. That's a great reframe that we use over here, because right now, unfortunately, because businesses are shutting their doors, if you think about it from the point of a business owner, your competitors are shutting their doors because they can no longer stay in business. So if you can not only survive in this economy, but you can thrive in this economy through using very creative tactics, you can not only pull yourself out of this, but when the economy turns around, because we know everything's cyclical, then you're actually going to have a larger market share and you're going to be in a much more dominant position. So my advice right now is to actually invest time, energy, and money into things like creative marketing tactics, and to use our company for it, of course.
Of course, of course. You know, Andrew, you said something really important that I really like, and that is that we all have our own personal economies, and it is based on what we pay attention to. And, you know, again, before anybody starts throwing tomatoes, I understand that, you know, there's foreclosures going on, this, that, and the other. However, we don't have to be victims of our circumstances. It is absolutely positively up to us, and not the bailouts that are coming and the tax breaks that may or may not come for small businesses and homeowners, whether that situation and stay stuck or am I going to find a way out. And as you correctly said, at times like these, when a lot of people are perhaps experiencing a recession, it is the time, since everything is cyclical, it is the time throughout history, both in this country and any other that has any kind of a market economy, that is the time when the truly wealthy, when wealth is made by so many more people, the people who see such times where you either grow or die, but those who decide to grow, they become immensely, you know, profitable and huge and big in ways, you know, that wouldn't have been available beforehand. You said that so we have to create our own economy, and to do that, we've got to be creative in our marketing. Many people know that Obama, since you brought him up, was creative in his quote-unquote marketing of himself as president, and a large part of his marketing as president was using the internet, which apparently McCain didn't do, as I understand it. Do you, out of curiosity, do you know anything about what Obama did using the internet to boost his campaign? Because it certainly had a big effect, from what I hear.
You ask the greatest questions, and it makes me come up with...
She
does, and it makes me come up with like 10 ideas I want to talk about. So I wanted to address two things really quick before I talk about what Obama did with what they're calling SEO 2.0.
Okay.
Two things I wanted to address is my understanding in China, which I went last year, and I love that country. It's a wonderful place. In China, the symbol for, I think, emergency or danger is the same symbol for opportunity.
Really?
And a lot of people don't get that. And they don't get that in times of crisis, there are more opportunities than ever. And like you said, if you look at the Great Depression, the wealthiest people of all time made a huge chunk of their wealth during the Depression. So there's people making money and there's people losing money right now. It's really up to the individual and their choice whether they want to create wealth right now and whether they want to have a pity party or whether they want to jump out of that and they really want to be successful. It's funny because I was just recently at a course called Billionaire Bootcamp where we study the mindsets and values and attitudes of billionaires with Chris Howard. It was in Hawaii. It's one of the best courses out there. I highly recommend it to anyone. It's phenomenal. And Chris Howard's writing a new book, and his publicist got very angry at him at one of his statements on that book, just as some people might get angry at our statement about social media. But his statement was that I think it was like at the time 600,000 or maybe more people had just lost their jobs. And his statement was that 600,000 people had just gotten liberated. And so that could be offensive to a lot of people, and I understand where you know, when you just lose your job, you're not thinking like, oh, I just got liberated. You're thinking, how do I pay the bills? How do I feed my children? How do I pay the rent? How do I take care of everything? But in reality, a lot of those people, I've had bad experiences in my life. And generally, when I look back on those bad experiences, it led to one of the greatest things coming next. So if people are to look at, hey, I just lost my job, my world is over, or if they're to look at their, I just lost my job, I'm now liberated, I could start my own business, I could look, I could change careers, I could move into another field, they could once again have their own personal economy and look for the opportunities instead of the obstacles. And so that was to answer sort of the first part of the wonderful question by Miss Jen Carter over there. The second part of the question is very exciting about how Obama used the internet to gain huge leverage for his campaign. I mean, phenomenal, and it's being studied in universities, and it will be the model for the future of running for the president, and how Obama created a huge amount of success for himself through social media, through search engine optimization, through what they're calling SEO 2.0. It opened the doors for a lot of stuff, and it's something that is accessible to anyone. If you guys are familiar with the term guerrilla marketing, that's where in guerrilla warfare, which is created by Che Guevara, not created by him, I guess Sun Tzu's Art of War would be the first book on this, you're using minimal effort or minimal tools or minimal people, you have very few resources against a much larger army, for example. So a smaller business competing with the larger business actually has advantages that larger business doesn't have. When a large corporation wants to make a decision, it goes through so many people and they move so slowly and they run very inefficiently, whereas a smaller company can't afford to run inefficiently. And Obama had a huge amount of money for his campaign, but he got it all from micro-donations. He got it all from small amounts of money of lots of people, which in a way is great because he didn't have these big companies that now are saying, well, we gave you, you know, $100 million towards your campaign, therefore you need to vote pro-oil or pro, you know, whatever their message is, because he got the money from the people. And this country was based on the people, and basically he went back to that. So some of the techniques, there's actually, if you Google the term Obama and SEO 2.0, there's a great article on it. And basically, Obama used what's called SEO 2.0 to be found on the search engines, and he used things like business blogging, social media participation is what they're calling it, which is what our package is all about, online reputation building, not just management, and that's very important, and we can talk about that if we have time today. You can make a note of reputation management. It's an interesting topic, and I get calls on that sometimes. And then, of course, he used other things like video, viral video. Viral marketing is phenomenal because it's marketing that spreads itself. It's so funny or interesting or informative that other people send it to all their friends who send it to all their friends who send it to all their friends, and so quickly you reach a critical mass where millions of people are seeing your video, and we're using viral marketing, or we're working on a viral marketing strategy for ourselves, and it's something that we can help our clients with as well. And then, of course, the other things, like he used local search engine optimization, which we do for our clients, which is Google Maps and Google Local, and he designed his website for a high return on investment, not looking beautiful, not looking fancy. That's a big misnomer, that a beautiful website doesn't win awards, but makes money, and a website that wins awards doesn't generally make money. Uh-huh. Does that answer your question, Jen?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So Obama used, everything that's social media marketing, and whether you support Obama or not, what he did and whoever advised him on all of this was brilliant. He used everything that's available in terms of social media marketing, the blogging, the social media, reputation management, you'll have to explain that, viral video, etc. And what's interesting about that, and you said this earlier, is in talking about in reference to big businesses versus small businesses, social media for small businesses is in essence kind of the great equalizer in terms of how we can reach out and grab our target market or connect with them. Coca-Cola or Pepsi might be able to, you know, plop down $25 million for a Super Bowl commercial, and probably most of our listeners cannot yet do that. However, we still can reach out and have an effect on, thousands, hundreds of thousands, and if we're really good at it, millions of people by using social media marketing. Let's take this back to the smaller businesses, and you said You just explained how Obama used it to get brilliant returns on his money, both in terms of campaign contributions and in votes. Let's turn it around now for everybody who's listening and take it back to the small and medium-sized businesses who are listening, who are infopreneurs or who are selling vitamins or who are providing coaching services or whatever it is that they're doing, and answer this. How should people start using social media marketing to successfully promote to promote their businesses? Where do they start?
Okay. Well, you know, definitely if you don't have any social media accounts, you definitely would want to start by at least opening a Facebook account. I mean, I love the stories I hear all the time of people telling me the connections they made with people they never thought they would hear from again, and they never thought they would find again. I think the first girl I had a big crush on, we went to prom together, but before that, I was 15, I think, when I first had a crush on her. I found her recently through Facebook, and it was really funny, and she's engaged now, and it's really cool, and we're, like, connected again through Facebook, and it's, like, such a cool experience when you, you know, one of the things I remember when I was younger is, like, of course, I was around before email and the web.
I said way back then, huh?
Yeah, way back then, and many of us probably listening were. And the problem was is that when you moved, I've lived in London, I've lived in Massachusetts, Santa Cruz, many parts of the world, and when you move from one part of the world to another, you lose track of people. Yes, you know their name. You have a phone number for them, but those phone numbers, when they move to somewhere else, you know, especially when you're in college and stuff, people don't keep the same numbers, and it's very hard to find those people again and stay in touch with them. A lot of my friends in London, that's where it started with me on Facebook, when I started seeing friends in London popping up going, hey, I found you. How have you been? It's been a few years. And it really excited me to reconnect with all these people. And yeah, sometimes, you know, people reconnect with these people and it's like you don't have a lot in common anymore because your lives have changed and their lives have changed. But at the same time, they're going to see your messages when they go on Facebook and they're going to see what you're up to and you're going to see what they're up to. And when you know what other people are up to, it's just a natural instinct as humans. We're natural connectors. I used to have this concept, this idea that we are human search engines because we listen for people and talking conversations about things that we like. You know, when you're at dinner, if you hear someone at the next table, if you're in, I don't like monster trucks. It's not, I mean, I don't have anything against them. But if you like monster trucks and you're eating dinner and the guy at the next table is talking about the monster truck show he just went to, chances are you might turn around and start talking to him about monster trucks and now you've made another connection. Just like our brain makes connections with synapses, we can make connections with other people, but the internet has expanded that and social media and techniques like this have really expanded that to where we can make so many more connections. So people are out there right now on Facebook and on the internet and on Google looking for, like you said, the vitamin salesman or the coach. They're looking for a great coach. Well, they may not even know that you do coaching, but they've known you for 10 years, or one of your friends has known, you know, one of their friends has known you for 10 years and connects the two of you, and now they found you as the most phenomenal coach because you have a presence on social media. So let's say I have, for example, I have my 500 friends, and I go to an internet marketing conference with the best, with, let's say, Alex Mendozian. Well, I go to that conference, and I'm learning from Alex Mendozian, and I put it up on my Facebook, or I put it up on all my social media sites, that I'm going to this conference. I get responses, and people say, hey, how was the conference? We'll have to talk about it when you get back. And by the way, I'm still interested in your services. So it's that top-of-mind thing again. Social media is not about pushing your product on people. It's about staying top of mind so when they're ready, the timing, when the timing is right for them, you will be the first person they think of when they want to find someone with your services.
Okay, staying top of mind. So we've been hearing this theme throughout the show, whether it's through search engine optimization, blogging, doing viral marketing, it's staying in the top of somebody's mind. Let's take that one step further and connect the dots with what that has to do with bottom line results, that is the profits and the dollars that come in and out of our door or our PayPal accounts or merchant accounts here. And again, this is whether you're an internet-based business or a brick-and-mortar business who's wise enough to be using the internet to expand your business. I know Gina, like you, Andrew, has many examples of companies or restaurants or whatever that she's expanded their businesses, their brick-and-mortar businesses, by using the web, the power of the web. Andrew, to drive this point home, I want to pull up an example that you mentioned to me about a real estate agent. Those of us who are listening know and maybe are a realtor or a real estate agent, and we know so the market's had some tough times, and there's a whole lot of real estate agents who are really struggling and or have gone out of business and changed professions entirely because, you know, it's been a tough year or so in the real estate market. And you told me this one story of a client of yours who over this past year or so approximately did an additional, what was the number? It was a big number.
$25 million in sales.
An additional $25 million in sales. These are with houses, right? Not commercial businesses? Okay, right. So houses, at a time when many realtors are having trouble, you know, selling one or two houses, $25 million in sales that he attributes specifically to the results he's gotten from the internet that he did with your company. And I just to drive home the point, and it's about the brilliance of you and your company, Andrew, and it's about the power of what the internet really can do for you, if and when you know what you're doing, and that is it's the difference between getting your message out there, establishing that relationship, and bringing the clients back home to you. In the case of this realtor, to the tune of $25 million versus struggling to sell a house or two every month or so and maybe going out of business. So how does somebody who's in an industry, for example, real estate, that's really struggling, or any other industry, how do they use the power of the internet? How did you do it? I don't know if you can talk about this one guy or not, but how do you get such amazing results, whether they're brick and mortar or not, and make such a difference in somebody's business?
Well, you know, I'm sure he won't mind us talking about him. His name is Scott Partridge. He's in the Temecula area. And basically, you know, through very effective search engine optimization, deep keyword analysis, figuring out those right phrases, we got him, over 1,000 top listings on the major search engines for the top, you know, top 30 listings for his major keyword phrases. And there was probably 500 in the top 10, and he probably had, you know, 100 number one listings. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but so many top listings for the keywords that mattered most: Temecula real estate for sale, Temecula homes for sale, Menifee, you know, all the areas around there, horse properties in Southern California, you know, we wine country, you know, all these unique phrases that a lot of his competitors weren't using. I mean, we look at your competitors' keywords, but we go even deeper than that and look for the stuff that other people don't think of. And with those listings, you know, one of the things we looked at early on when we started this company is we wanted to look at what is one of our biggest competitors. And one of our biggest competitors is the phone book, because people spend a lot of money on advertising in the phone book. We talked to smaller clients that spend $400 a month, $500 a month of the phone book, and they never get a phone call from it. And, you know, we called just to see, out of curiosity, how much was a full-page phone book ad? It was close to $50,000 in San Diego to get a full-page phone book ad. So when you talk about how can we prove that these techniques work, well, you know, we have client testimonial after testimonial from clients who it has worked for. We have ranking reports that prove the results. But when you come up hundreds, and if not sometimes even thousands of times, in the major search engines for the keywords that matter most that your clients are typing in, it's almost like being on 20 phone book pages at the same time, having 20 full-page ads on the phone book, which would cost you, what, $500,000 maybe? So for the same, you know, for a much, much, for a tiny fraction of that, you can just get phenomenal results. I mean, we just finished a dental client on the East Coast. We just recently did their site in the last few months, and they just said recently, just from recently, they got 4 brand-new clients. And they always ask their clients, where did you find them? They found them from the search engines. And we're finding that this happens time and time and time again, and it's just been so effective, and it's phenomenal what effects it can have and what can do. And as far as social media, like I said, before we're going to offer anything like this 10 hours of coaching to our clients, we're going to test it out and make sure it works for us first. And social media now for 6 months, And we're getting two or three people a week that are saying, we are seriously interested in using your services. When can we get started? And that is powerful. That and for the amount of time and energy, I mean, literally, we maybe put in 10, 20 minutes a day right now into social media. We don't sit there for hours, and it doesn't cost us anything except a little bit of time. So we've seen it work time and time and time again, and we're happy if people are interested in our services to guide them to either testimonials or to speak to people. Like, for example, one of our very, very successful and very happy clients right now is Mr. Ben Gay III, who writes the book The Closers. He sold 5 million books over the last 30 years without the internet, of course, and his website was never doing anything for him. And then he hired us on board and took us on as a search engine optimization company, and he found his website has just really become so much more effective as a business tool for actually making sales and making connections for him, and as you, like you said, building relationships.
Okay. So it all goes back to building relationships. Building relationships, finding them. Let me throw this out there. It's kind of a devil's advocate question, but that is this, that, again, many of the listeners, even like you, Andrew, have spent our time and our money and whatnot trying to figure out the best thing on the internet to do, the thing that's going to work, or the top few things that are going to work. So how do we know, and how do we figure out which of those things are going to actually work for us so that we're not throwing more good money, good time after bad? How do we key in on, and you know, we're ready to explode our businesses. What do we need to do?
Okay. Well, you know, like I said, I've been in marketing my entire life, and so I'm always looking for what is the most effective way to get the message out there. I mean, like I mentioned, I had a screen printing business for years, and when we sold T-shirts, we would talk to a coffee shop or a restaurant, and we would say that when you get your logo and your design printed on a shirt, you're turning your customers into walking billboards. And so you're getting that message out there, and you're for certain types of businesses, I would highly recommend printing T-shirts, because not only are they walking billboards, but they'll buy the shirts from you. So you're selling them a way to put your advertising out there. But nowadays, you know, it's about reaching the people who don't see that T-shirt also, and reaching those people who are out there on their computers and they're looking for what you have to offer. We wouldn't do search engine optimization and we wouldn't do social media marketing if we didn't believe they were probably the two best forms of marketing on the entire internet. Now, you know, I believe in having a multi-pronged marketing campaign, so you shouldn't just have one tactic and rely on that. And we mentioned earlier, we talked about viral videos, for example. If you can do a successful viral campaign and your market is worldwide, you can reach millions of people for, you know, a few thousand dollars possibly, depending on what it takes you to produce that video. So, you know, for me, like, would someone ask me, is viral better than search engine optimization? They're really different flavors. It's also, once again, like I said earlier, it's about the intention. What is your intention? Who do you want to reach? What are their demographics? What are their psychographics? Where are your clients right now? So if you believe they're on YouTube watching videos frequently, then a viral video might be the best way to reach them. You know, but they're probably, if they're on YouTube, they're also on Facebook, and they probably go to places like Google. Most people do, to find what they need. So if you ask my opinion on the two best marketing techniques on the internet, it's the two that we offer to our clients, which is search engine optimization, the art and science of getting to the top of the search engines, and social media marketing, where you can leverage your powerful networks of people you've known your entire life or for many years, and leverage them to help you get the resources you need and the clients and build and grow your business.
You sound just like me. I am constantly preaching about knowing your intentions and knowing your outcomes. Because if you're not really clear on what those are, you're not going to be able to get results. You might get something, but will it turn into what you're looking for? Probably not.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, it's the same exact thing.
It absolutely is. You are always preaching that, and it's a really important, crucial point. We have to know where we're going, and then we have to know how to get there, which is, I guess, what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, you said that earlier you made the statement, you know, Google is constantly changing the way they do search engine, their formulas or algorithms for that. which brings me to the point that the web is constantly changing in terms of what's what works, what doesn't work, how to get out there and have a presence. Since you're deeply entrenched in this, where do you see the web going in the future? What are we going to see coming down the road from Google, from social media? What do we need to be thinking about?
That's a great question. And actually, yesterday I looked into my crystal ball. And, just to answer that question, because it's one of those things where it's, like, so exciting what's happening right now. It's almost like what's going on with social media, and you have things like Second Life, and people are still discovering it. I know you had an expert in marketing on Second Life recently, and that's like a whole other world where people can exist and buy real estate and clothing and houses and all, and they can make money. There's Linden dollars on there, and it's something I don't even spend a lot of time doing that, but I find it interesting. But as far as where the web is going, I think just the stuff that's happening right now is going to get bigger and bigger, and it's just really going to dominate. I mean, with 60 million people a month using Facebook, it's a powerhouse. And the young gentleman who started it, I think his name's Mark Zuckerberg, if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure. What a business genius in a lot of ways. I mean, not just to have created it, but he understood the power of what he had. To give an example, a few years back, I think it was Yahoo or one of the major companies offered to buy Facebook off of him for $1 billion. Now, most people would just cash out and say, wow, $1 billion, I'll take it. MySpace sold for half of that. He didn't take it. He knew that the leverage and the speed it was growing and looked at the future and saw that, you know what, I don't want to sell it out to some big company that's gonna taint it and make it not, you know, what it really is meant to be. I would rather hold on to it. Well, about a year later, I think a small company named Microsoft came by, and they bought, I think it was something like 1.5% of Facebook for $250 million. So instead of him selling the whole thing for $1 billion, he held out and got, you know, $250 million for a tiny piece of it, and he's now still controls most of Facebook. So, you know, it's just going to get more and more interconnected. Obviously, we're all walking with computers now with the modern phones and the PDAs and stuff. So it's basically the future at the moment is already happening. People are receiving and sending their tweets, you mentioned Twitter, from their cell phones. They're getting their Facebook messages in their cell phones. They're constantly connected to this larger network of people who like, trust, and admire them. Now, I feel like a little bit like I haven't done justice to the word relationship in this call. And I've been studying a gentleman, and I met him recently, and we may be working with him soon, named Jeffrey Gitomer. He writes the Little Red Book of Sales, and he writes books, the Black Book of Connections, and I highly recommend his books. They're full of nuggets.
Neat guy. His books are awesome. I'd love to meet him sometime.
He's great. He's really funny in person, and he does conferences around the country, and they're about $100, and it's 3 hours long, and he packs so much into 3 hours, just like his books. And he's just really cool and very personable, very friendly. I really like Jeffrey Gitomer, and I highly recommend his stuff. But one of the things that stood out to me on this call as we were talking about different stuff, one of the things I might misquote him here, and I apologize, Jeffrey. One of the things he says is that he says nothing happens until a relationship is formed. So don't assume that being on Facebook and being in there and posting your messages and using SEO and emailing people – don't assume that that's the end-all, be-all of building relationships. Learn relationship-building skills. One of the best books you can buy on the planet is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It was written 80 years ago or something like that now, but it still holds so true. It talks about remembering people's names, about smiling. Even like, for example, during our interview today, I'm wearing a suit and dress shoes right now. I don't normally dress up when I work during the day because I work, you know, I work with other computer people, and we work, you know, in our space, and we don't, you know, unless I go to meet with clients. But I thought about it. I said, you know what, this call is very important, and lots of people are going to be listening to this, and this is very important to my business and to my relationships, and I want to be as professional as possible, but also give you guys as much value and give your listeners as much value as possible. So remember, nothing happens till a relationship is built. Build rapport, get to know people, find what you have in common with them, and build a common ground. And that's one of the keys to any type of marketing and business and sales.
And, you know, it's really cool because what I teach is primarily how you build that relationship once people get to your site. And how do you move forward once they hit your site, then get onto your list, and then get into your products. And basically what you're sharing today is how do you get the right people to get there to do any of those things with. Without the piece that you've shared with people today, that relationship can't happen. It's the single most crucial part of building the relationship. I don't care what you do in your website. I don't care what you do in your emails. I don't care what you do in your products. If you don't have the right people connecting with you, none of it matters.
That is absolutely the truth. If you want to reach your target market, you want to reach them where they're at. You want to give them, you know, the right messages. Another gentleman I'm a big fan of right now is Paul Cooligan. I'm not sure, are you familiar with him?
I am.
Okay, I was going to say, if you haven't interviewed him yet, you should. And I'm connected with him through Facebook and other places. I could introduce the two of you, or, you know, that's the kind of connections. You know, my brain always thinks in terms of networking and connecting people, but I love how Paul Cooligan talks about give them the message the way they want the message.
Yes.
One of the things he says that I find phenomenal is that 80% of the people who read his blog don't read it on his blog. They read it through various, and this might be confusing to people. They're like, wait a sec, how do they read his blog? They read it through so many other places. They get it through RSS feeds. They get it emailed to them. And not to get into technical details, because it's you know, like I said, this is stuff we go over when we do the coaching with people. But they get his message in so many different ways that most – and he uses different ways to track it. And there's some awesome stuff like BudURL that you can use to track where people find your message. He can see that 10% found his message through a Facebook link, or through a group in Facebook, and then X amount of people saw it through Twitter, and X amount of, and that way he can really leverage and focus his energy. You asked earlier, where are my customers using, what are they using the most? Well, it's different for every business owner, every person's networks, and so forth. Obviously, if you're covering the big ones, then that's a great start. But at the same time, when you use tools like this, you can really start to see, wow, I didn't realize, but this smaller social media site that's focused on my industry actually brings in more traffic and more relevant people than does Facebook. And you can discover that stuff. It takes what another big technical term, I hate to use technical terms, but it's called analytics. And this kind of tracking can really tell you where people are coming from, how they're finding you, what keywords matter most, and so forth.
Uh-huh. And in what you mentioned from Paul with give it to them the way that they want it, I've been experimenting lately with getting RSS feeds that I bring in through a service called Jot. And using, it's JOTT.com, I can set up what are called Jot links inside of my Jot account. And what that does is I can pick up my telephone, I can call Jot, and I can tell it which RSS feed I want it to read to me. So I can just sit there and listen. Even though the person just put their blog out there in text, normal, ordinary text, I can now hear it on my cell phone as I'm driving down the road. And you need to keep in mind that when you're putting material out there, people find their way into tools like Jot, so they may not always be getting it in the same format you intended it to be put into. They're going to get it how they want it. They might read it on their iPhone or their Google phone. I'm a Google phone user. You have no idea how awful some of these blogs look when they're big, wide screens when I'm looking at them on my Google phone. You can't read them. You've got to scroll 5 and 6 times to go left to right to read them. It's terrible. See, it's a really important point that you mentioned. You've got to give it to them the way that they want it, not the way you wanted it to look.
Yeah, we use Jot over here, and we love Jot, and I've never used it for what you're talking about, and you got me excited. Thank you for a new way.
It's a real – I've just started experimenting with it this week, and wow, I'm loving it.
Yeah, we use it to keep lists of a lot of tasks that we're doing as a company, and I would recommend to your users to look into Jot. It's a free service, and you can call on the phone and say, I need to remember to turn the oven off, or I need to pack for my vacation I'm taking. And it'll type that up for you and put it in your list of things to do. And it's
what
really
I use it for more than anything else is each group of students that I coach, I have a separate group set up within JOT. So I can pick up the phone, call into JOT, and I can say, okay, Apprentice Group 6, here's my reminder to them. And I can remind them about their assignments. I can tell them about really cool sites that I just stumbled across. I can send it out to all of my coaching students at one time just with a simple phone call. And within a few seconds, they get it in email, in text, and audio, and they get it on their cell phone in an SMS message. So in a couple of seconds, boom, exactly what I wanted them to know about or remember about, it's out there. And that has been really phenomenal. I can get them so much more material because of the ability to just pick up the phone, leave a couple of words, and hang up.
Absolutely. So that's phenomenal. It is really powerful nowadays, all the tools that are out there, and just understanding them and understanding how to use and leverage them. There's actually another phone tool that we've used before that we find really cool, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one. It's called ART, or Automatic Response. Do you know this one?
No, I don't know this one. What does it do?
It's also ART? Called Automatic Response Technology. They charge a small fee for it, and some people may consider this tacky. If it's used wrong, it could be. But what it does is it will call a large list of phone numbers for you and leave a message for them.
Nice.
Let's say I go to a conference, like I just went to Billionaire Boot Camp, and let's say I got 100 phone numbers. And I want to call those 100 people and say, hey, this is Andrew. I met you at Billionaire Boot Camp. It was great to meet you, and I just want to know how I can help your business. Come visit me at brandseo.com or call me direct if you need anything urgent. Here's my number. They hear my voice, they remember me from the conference, and they don't know that it's not me personally calling them. So
that's cool, Andrew.
It's
I
really
like
cool.
that a lot.
Yeah,
is it just art.com, or where do I find that?
Go to Automatic Response Technology. Google that. I think that's the name of the site as well.
Okay, cool.
A really cool service. I mean, you can get lists of businesses that might be into your service. For example, we're always looking for web designers and marketing firms and advertising firms because we can help their clients if they don't do the stuff we do, and we work in conjunction with them. So obviously, if there's any web designers, advertising, or marketing firms listening, please contact us. But basically, you know, we can find a list of 100 web design firms, send them a postcard, drop them an email that, hey, watch in the mail, we're going to be sending you a postcard, do an automatic response technology about that, leave a message in the evening when they're not at work, and then leave another follow-up message after that. And we can do that with 1,000 people or 10,000. I mean, it just depends on how much business we want to bring in and how we can, you know, if we did too many, it'd be difficult to man the phones and handle all the phone calls that came in from it. It's one of those tactics that's just so effective. But you want to combine it with an email campaign or something on top of just the phone call. Now, it's not a free service, but it's very reasonable considering what you would pay to have a human do that. It's a fraction of that cost.
Well, and you mentioned you got 100 business cards at the Millionaires Bootcamp that you just went to. Well, my Google phone, I can take a picture using my camera, and it automatically, it's one of the applications that I have installed, it automatically converts that into text and puts it into a database for me. So I think it would be super easy to use the automated response technology to then take that list that I just created by taking a quick picture of a business card and upload it.
Oh, that's cool. So your Google phone has a character generator that reads the business card. Because we scan the business cards here. We do it a little more old school.
Yeah, cool. Just have to take a picture of it. So by the time I get home, I've taken pictures of all of the business cards and thrown them away. I don't need them anymore. It gives me both a picture of the card in like a JPEG image, so I can still see the actual card, but then it actually reads it and puts it into a database.
How accurate is it? Because even with our card scanner, it's about 5% off.
It's not quite 5% off. I would think probably one out of every five cards I have to touch something up, but it's not really that bad at all. And it just is the ones that have either really high gloss or really unusual font, those are the ones that it has trouble with. And again, that's something to remember when you're creating your business cards. Don't use unusual fonts. Don't make it too high gloss, because other people are going to start using these technologies and they're not going to be able to do it with your card.
Yeah, I always like to have a non-glossy on the back side so people can write notes of where they met me, because I hate that when a card's glossy on both sides.
I do the same thing.
Oh, it's terrible, because you meet so many people and get so many cards and you want to keep track of who and where and where they're from and so forth. So I'm a big fan of that. There's a very nice finish called silk on cards. It's quite expensive, but it's beautiful.
You know, I've got one more SEO kind of question for you.
Okay.
In putting your website together, are there any specific places that your clients need to make sure that they have their keywords? Once they've gone out and found it, where do you tell them they've got to have those keywords to get the best search engine ranking?
Well, we have a wonderful content writer, Matthew Rhoda, and also our creative director, who helps with the content writing to place the keywords in the right density, the right locations, the right amounts. And it's an art and a science, definitely. And some of our clients choose to write it themselves. It's really optional. So it's something we kind of get into more in depth, but actually you reminded me of another question, since we're running low on time, and I'd love to do another call with you guys in the future, maybe even on another topic. But actually something even more important than that is how the website is designed and created to be search engine friendly.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most important questions we could cover on this call. If they ever think they might be doing search engine optimization, the site has to be designed correctly. We recommend to our clients to work with a great search engine optimization firm like BrandSEO.com or another. We don't know any other great ones, so we recommend ourselves. But basically, to make sure that it's done in a way that the search engines are going to be able to see all your pages, they're going to be able to see all your text. They're not going to, you know, if it's done wrong, the search engines will leave your site and not even put it in Google's index. And so you could have the site up for years, and if you ever intend to do search engine optimization, there's a few things you want to avoid, like very flash-heavy websites. Those were kind of the thing a few years ago, was having a big intro movie. And there was a little button that said skip intro. Most of us just clicked the skip intro button and weren't really interested in watching the little movie. It was kind of like people spent thousands of dollars to have this movie on there. Not only did people click the skip intro button, or they left the site altogether, but the search engines were leaving. Now Google's making some more changes where they're doing their best to be able to read these flash-heavy websites. So things are changing in that area, but it took years to get there, and I still would recommend having a limited amount of flash on your website. So if you're a web
developer,
this
is a big issue for restaurants especially. Restaurants tend to have these flash applications that have all of their menus available in flash. You've got to remember this, because when you're using those kinds of designs in your website, not only can the search engines not find you, but people using their phones to access the internet and they want to see your menu before they come over to eat, they can't see it there either. I can't see most of those types of flash sites on my Google phone at all. That's a really important thing to mention. What else should they avoid?
Yeah, I was going to say it's illegal to drive with your phone now in California, but usually, let's say maybe my passenger might be on my phone, and let's say we want to call the restaurant. If the site's done correctly, we just click on the phone number and it calls the restaurant. But if it's done in Flash, it, once again, you can't even call the restaurant without having to type the number in, and you have to go off the page, and it just makes it very non-user friendly, and you will lose business, and you won't even know you lost it.
We have that all the time in mind.
There's an old type of websites that was designed. It was called frames. You really want to avoid what's called frames or iframes. The search engines can't see your text. They see you as a one-page website, even if you have 100 pages. So you want to make sure they can get to all those pages. And also, if your site's done through, and a lot of them are nowadays, through a content management system or a CMS-driven site, you got to make sure that the page names are short enough, that they don't have too many equal signs in them. This is all stuff the programmers do, but we guide our clients and work hand-in-hand with their web developers. People often ask me, when should I hire a search engine optimization company? I always say hire your SEO company before you hire your web developers, because we will vet the web developers for you and make sure you're going to get not only done search engine friendly, but make sure that the website's going to get finished. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I meet who tell me they paid for a website 2 years ago and it's still not done. It's so sad.
I hear it all the time, too.
That's crazy.
One of my jokes is that if you want to find a web developer, just throw a rock in any direction and listen for the scream. There's so many of them out there, and there's not many good ones. And we have a few that we highly recommend, and you know, and they've done wonderful, phenomenal work for our clients. They do it fast, they do it efficient, they do it affordable. We don't do web design here. And the reason we don't do that is our goal and what we do is we want to be the best in the world at one thing, and that's getting you to the top of the search engines. And now using social media marketing because it's so effective. So I should say the best in the world at two things. But we figured, and I have a degree in fine art. I've studied graphic design for years. I could go into web design very quickly and easily, but we would rather send people to the experts at that. And a lot of times you'll see web designers who claim to do SEO, and unfortunately, because it's not their core focus, we've seen time and time again where they got bad search engine optimization because the web designers did it for, you know, let's say a very cheap price or so forth.
Well, Andrew, I've got a few students who have web design companies that do primarily development using a blogging platform, and I will send them your way. But since we only have a few minutes left, why don't you tell people how they can work with you if they want to use brand SEO in this coaching program that you've got, to be able to get better search engine and social marketing results for their business?
Well, that's great. Obviously, when you call, mention that you heard us on the Gina and Jen radio show, and we're going to give a special 10% discount on all brandseo.com services. Obviously, the best ways to find us are to go to our website, brandseo.com, or call us on the phone directly at 619-564-4989. The two main services we're really offering today and right now is our search engine optimization services, which we do a free consultation for. So if you have an inkling that you may be interested in search engine optimization or you're ready to do search engine optimization, contact us today at that phone number or go through our website, and we will do a free half-hour consultation where we'll look deeper at your keywords, we'll look at the site itself and the structure, make sure it's search engine friendly for you, and kind of let you know what sort of package and what sort of pricing is going to be best to get you the best results. And even if we don't think search engine optimization is going to benefit you, we won't even sign you up because we don't want to take people's money without giving them the most value. The other thing is we're creating a social media package. And we're looking for coaching students to teach social media to on a one-on-one basis. Now, this is a very limited offer. We are not going to be offering coaching once the package is created. So you will not have one-on-one FaceTime with me or one-on-one time with me over the phone to teach you how to do the best social media for yourself. And so we're limiting this to only 10 students. So, and that's forever. We're not going to continue doing this. Normally, my coaching time runs at $250 an hour. For this package, we're dropping it down. We're doing 10 hours of social media coaching at $1,500. And what we decided was for the first three callers who call in and mention your show, we're going to do it actually for $1,000. So we're dropping it down to $100 an hour for 10 hours of coaching on social media. And so, once again,
the
two...
Andrew?
What's
the bottom line benefit people would get from becoming one of your coaching students for the social media? We only have like 30 seconds here, but what's the bottom line they're going to get from that?
They're going to get a lot of leverage, save a lot of time and energy, and they're going to be able to reach the masses with social media marketing and use it to the best for their industry. So their true benefit is that they're going to have more time to spend with their family and kids and travel and have a better life. Is the real benefit that most of us are looking for is really truly a better life, and that's what we offer.
Mm, isn't that the truth? So that and the SEO is what, like, your real estate client who made an additional $25 million used. It's what DC Cordova's used with you. It's what Jim Rohn's used. They used your services to get themselves to the top and to make, you know, to outshine their competitors. And to do extremely well for themselves. That's what it gets down to.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's really going to skyrocket their marketing to success.
Wow. Well, again, that's brandseo.com. And I really want to thank you for being here, Andrew. This call has been amazing, hasn't it, Jen?
Fantastic. We could talk for hours in more detail, but it's been great for the hour and a half. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We really appreciated your time today.
And if anyone listening wants to refer their friends, they can just go and find us on Blog Talk Radio. You can just get to askggg.com/radio. We will be back again next Tuesday at noon Eastern with our guest, Joel Block, who's going to help teach you how to get your business financing off the ground. So thank you so much, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.